Bobby Rivers, alone in a world that doesn't want him. We can rebuild him, make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, blacker. Mocha.
How you doing, people? Thank you for joining us once again for another edition of Mocha. M-O-C-H-A-A. That stands for Man of a Certain Hue and Age. I am Bobby Rivers, formerly of VH1, ABC News Lifetime TV in New York City, Food Network for a few years, and a national radio show with Whoopi Goldberg. Yes, I've been around. And with me on this podcast, I could not do this adventure without comedian, actor, Broadway theater correspondent, Keith Price.
Hello,
how
darling.
You doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
You know what? I'm so glad to be with you again and hear your voice. Because you calmed me down, and here's why. Because, folks, I'm going to take you behind the scenes. Keith just said, you know, do you want to talk politics? And here's the way that I feel. Mango Mussolini is again working my last gay nerve. And I could bring up today what he said today that just put a knot in my neck. But tomorrow, he'll top himself.
Because today is what? Sunday, August 5th. And
yes.
He just unleashed a whole tirade of stuff this morning about an article. I mean, it was just like, okay, that's just this morning.
That's just this morning. You know, yesterday I woke up and went, oh no, he didn't.
Go come for LeBron James.
Okay, you know, he's called Representative Maxine Waters. He's got this thing where he has accomplished black people. Mm-hmm. He says that they have low IQs. So he's hitting us intellectually.
Well, now, trying to.
Now, okay, I am not a hard news reporter, but if I was in that press room with that Sarah Sanders woman,
What did you call her last time? Cyclops.
The Cyclops. Cyclops and the pearl necklace.
And not the good one.
I would
but
say,
a bump.
Okay, but a bump. You know what? He keeps insulting accomplished black people with these comments.
Of course.
All right. And are you cool with that, Sarah? Do you not see the racial aspect of this? But you know who I would really like to ask for a comment on this?
Who?
Ben Carson. Whatever happened to Uncle Ben Carson? Here he is. You know, he's insulted Maxine Waters. He insulted. He probably called LeBron James and Don Lemon dumb and dumber.
Yep.
He's making all these comments. Where's Ben Carson? That would be my question.
Well,
where's he?
Wait, what was that one that had the chicken or the pizza guy? What was his name? That was running the last time for president, that black guy?
Oh, yes, I know who you mean.
Herman Cain.
Ben is like, he's still in the sunken place somewhere. Nobody has heard from Ben Carson. And with Sarah, you know, when Mango Mussolini came out with another tweet that members of the, yes, folks, I'm going there, that they're the enemy of the people. I would have raised my hand to Sarah and said, okay, so you did not say that the press is not the enemy of the people when we gave you a chance to. So am I safe in assuming that you, a Christian, or at least you claim to be, are totally cool with the men and women reporters who were shot and killed in June in the workplace at the newspaper where they work? Because you consider them to be enemy of the people. Now, as I said, I am not a hard news reporter. Keith is not a hard news reporter. We would not be in the press room. But we would ask questions like that.
Yep.
Why? Because we're entertainers. We are in the arts. And just hear me out on this. Because what we do, whether we're trying to make you laugh or make you cry, we like to get out there and perform and entertain. And when we are all in that family of entertainers, you know, famous and non-famous and infamous,
mm-hmm.
what we do when we're doing it right is we're trying to illuminate and bring something to light. So by nature, we are all like the little boy in the emperor's new clothes. We're the ones who say, what are you, nuts? He's naked! Doesn't anybody see that?
No, we're Will Ferrell in Zoolander. What? Am I taking crazy pills?
Oh.
It's the same look! You know what I mean? It's like...
Exactly.
It's like the man is... Bless his heart, he just has a problem with the truth.
Oh.
And the fact of the matter is... He has hired a whole bunch of people that know how to handle people that have a problem with the truth. Because they themselves are masters of handling, as what we like to say, the alternate facts.
I could not believe it. I was watching that press conference that with Sarah Sanders.
Uh-huh.
When they said, okay, he keeps calling us the journalists, mm-hmm. the enemy of the people. Do you know how dangerous that is when that phrase is heard? By the wrong minds, by minds that, you know...
They don't care.
They don't care.
They don't
and
care.
She never apologized. She made it all about her.
Yes.
You did not, you made fun of the way I look. I'm sorry. Are you in a house without mirrors?
Do you not have a gay best friend?
Do you not have, really?
Because if you did, girl, that hair would be popping, and you would not be coming out looking terrible, and those big old prints and the big old swaths of cloth. He would hook you up.
I didn't know it's not about looks, but girl, honey.
It's just, it amazes me, because you got to say one thing about Huckabee Sanders and Kellyanne Conway. And I know this is going to be, people will judge me when I say this to you, but listen to me, Bobby. If you had to have a ride or die particular person with you that you know will never rat you out, Kellyanne Conway and Sarah Huckabee Sanders would be the perfect people to have, especially like if you were somebody that used to cut curfew and stuff. Like, could you imagine them, your parents going to Sarah Sanders Huckabee and said, well, what happened to Allison? Well, Allison is actually still here. You may not see her, but she's actually here.
Right now.
She's. Yeah. I'm going to call her right now. See, look, there she is. Those are those kinds of friends you want sometimes, because you know no one will ever get your business. But then when you look at how it really works in this kind of environment, it's the most frightening thing ever.
It really is.
Like, they just lie right to people's faces. Lie.
Democracy just being whittled away.
I mean, lying. And got no shame.
No shame. And it's your fault.
Exactly. You know, and then I'm listening to these people talking, and I'm just kind of like, wow. When listening to someone go on about LeBron James and Don Lemon, and it's like Maxine Waters, and it's like, as you say, all these accomplished black people.
Starting with President Obama, because remember that?
Hello.
Oh, he's president. He wasn't born here.
He wasn't born here.
The whole birtherism thing.
You know?
Which he was doing that. He started that when he was NBC talent on The Apprentice.
And they let it go.
But, yeah, well...
They
because
become
NBC
president.
Has always been very GOP friendly. They practically canonized Ronald Reagan. Whereas, you know, I worked there. They were threatening to fire me for jokes that I made on the air that no one complained about.
That were genius.
I thought.
Sorry, Babala, but those were genius. Sorry. This is like, that's how you get past the censors.
That's how you do it. I thought they were fabulous. But the boss personally didn't like my jokes.
Yeah, because he knew exactly what it meant. That's why. Y'all go back and listen to that episode. I'm just saying. We don't have time to rehash because we're busy moving forward. But when y'all get a minute, go back and listen to what he said because you'll gag. I'm just saying because we also need the extra listens.
Oh, Lord. America?
But it's wild. It's just wild. And it's sort of like... As we continue to move forward with all of this happening in front of us, it's like, I just don't know. Like, you, of all people, going to call out you know, these intelligent black people, these smart, moving forward black people, and then sit at a round table with all of these loser evangelical, black evangelicals talking all this madness that he's the most progressive black president. I'm like, how much money are they giving your church? How much money are they giving y'all? Because there is just no way that you could be sitting here looking at what you're looking at that's going on in this world right now and still, as a member of the clergy, be looking at him and saying he's good for us. Like, what is wrong with you?
Either.
What's wrong with you people? It's like, this is beyond Jesus.
That has got to be in Get Out 2. Get Out 2, get a bigger teacup.
Get a bigger teacup. Get a chalice. I mean... But I mean, honestly, though, it's like how do you step above this? And it's like, and then, you know, you think about the people that he's making fun of and how he's doing it in front of these other yahoos, that none of them in that audience have any kind of the accomplishments that the people that he's making fun of have. And they're like joining on in the bandwagon. It's like, you stupid people, you're just lemmings. I hate to say this, but sometimes, you know, it's like, maybe, you know, when the lemmings run off the cliff, off the side of the cliff, sometimes that's a good thing. Someone would say natural selection. But I mean, I don't want to go with y'all. And I don't want to be dragged down with y'all because y'all are so ridiculous. You're so racist and so ridiculous. And it's like, your racism is what's going to keep you in poverty.
President is ruining Twitter for me.
Exactly.
I go, oh, Jesus, what now? I'm afraid to log on. I would just like go for, oh, let's get showbiz news. No, him.
It's him. But you know what's very fascinating? And it's like, as we watch what's going on, literally, we are watching this presidency like a reality TV show. And that's because we have allowed that ilk and we've allowed that poison that is sometimes reality TV, because let's face it, there's some interesting, good, real, you know, real shows and real good competition shows and blah, 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 that stuff. But overall,
that's not how the country should be run.
But that's not how the country
should be run. And the other thing, too, is you and I being, you know, in the business,
mm-hmm.
I know that makes it sound so high toned.
I know, right?
But we know that a lot of these reality TV shows are not as much reality as people think.
Exactly.
And don't get me started on how much money those shows have taken away from union card holders who should be getting acting work.
Well, but see, that's why we got to go to Netflix, Amazon Plus, Hulu.
I know. Let's go on to a movie.
Talk to me.
Mango Mussolini is making me sweat.
Oh, wait. And you know what? This shout out to Heather B over at, she's over at, the SiriusXM. She's on Sway's show in the morning, and then she has her own little wild show that she's got going on where she's cooking and talking and caring on with people. Uh-huh. She's a mixologist, and now we're going to put a request out for her to ask her to make a mango Mussolini, and that's going to be the drink. That's going to be our signature drink. This isn't celebrating him. We're drinking because he makes us sad.
So
and we want it to be fruity so we can at least pretend that we're happy.
So make it a double.
So Heather B, shout out, girl. We need a mango Mussolini stat, girl. And just let your mind wander.
And thank you for listening. All right, let me get into a little movie talk here.
Yes.
There are a couple of movies that are opening this month, August, that I hope do really well. One is Crazy Rich Asians. The trailer, and here's what, and it stars Constance Wu, who I love on the ABC sitcom Fresh Off the Boat, and how she plays the overachieving mom, suburban mom on Fresh Off the Boat. How she has not yet got an Emmy nomination is beyond me. And here's the big deal with Crazy Rich. Yeah, well, like, they couldn't have two, you know. But here's the importance of to me, the significance of Crazy Rich Asians, which is a major studio release. And it's the first Hollywood big studio release featuring a predominantly Asian-American, Asian cast since The Joy Luck Club. And that was 1993.
Stop it.
I'm not kidding. It was 1993. So there's that. So Constance Wu is now on the cover of the Hollywood Reporter. She is, as she said, she never thought she would be in a position where she would be seeing Hollywood news reports or a Hollywood film with people who look like her. And it's her face. And I know exactly what she meant. Now, the diversity, inclusion, and lately, thanks to Travelle Anderson in the Los Angeles Times, there was an article on the lack of diversity in film criticism and movie hosts on TV. So that's all been added into the mix with results of how much we've achieved lately in diversity and inclusion, a study conducted by the Annenberg Inclusion Initiative. Well, the needle hasn't moved very much.
Are we surprised?
You know, it's like still work, but I have a theory on that. And at the bottom of the list of people who are not represented, it's like Asian Americans. Yeah. It's like, you know, Black, Latino, LGBT, the disabled at the bottom, mm-hmm. Asian Americans and Native Americans. So the fact that they've got this big Hollywood movie coming out on August 15th, I hope it does really, really, really well at the box office. Really well. And if to give you folks an example of how the Asian American actors are overlooked, or and maybe you know only get like one line here and there, I want to give you a pretty recent movie as an example. Keith, did you see the movie Blue Jasmine?
Yes, that was okay. The Woody Allen one, right?
Woody Allen. That was only like 5 years ago. Cate Blanchett deserved that Oscar.
She sure did win. Yes.
Sally Hawkins deserved that Oscar nomination. Now, here's the thing. That Woody Allen movie was shot in and around San Francisco. The action takes place in San Francisco, and I was living in San Francisco at that time. In fact, I was trying to see if I could get work as a background actor because they were taking background actors in San Francisco. So here's the thing. And I thought of this when the movie opened, and I was watching it. But, you know, God forbid they have me as a black person on TV reviewing movies. So I'm saying, oh, okay, yeah, I know that location. It's a couple of blocks from where I'm living. It was areas I go to. Now, every single day of my life in San Francisco, what did I see? Asian American people. From the time I was leaving the apartment building to the time I went back, they are all over San Francisco until you have a movie shot by Woody Allen. Look, go to Netflix and look at the movie Blue Jasmine. There are three roles in that movie. And I went, okay, there's a dentist. It's a funny part. A dentist played by Michael Stuhlbarg, who we loved in Call Me By Your Name. There's a dentist, the Peter Sarsgaard character, and the character played by Louis C.K. could have been played by Asian American actors. The dentist could have been Randall Park, mm-hmm. who was Constance Wu's co-star on Fresh Off the Boat. The Sarsgaard character could have been Daniel Day-Kim, and Louis C.K.'s character could have been John Cho. And it would have been a more accurate reflection of San Francisco the way it is. But they went to San Francisco and told there is not one speaking role for an Asian American actor in that movie that has several roles, and it takes place in and was shot in San Francisco.
Now, I'm going to say this, and I know it's going to also probably come across as a little, I don't know, I'll let other people decide, but but the fact that Woody Allen didn't want to have any other Asian people on the set.
I know where you're going.
But I stopped myself. You saw that? That's maturity.
But that made me wonder, okay, was there anybody not in the production staff or in casting could say, okay, you know what? These smaller roles, these small supporting roles, come on. It could be an Asian American or actor or actress. And in fact, a buddy of mine was in the movie, but she didn't brag that she had gotten the part. And at that time, she was seen in TV commercials a lot for, Lysol. They call me Lemon because yes. It was Pine Sol or Lysol.
Pine Sol. Black actress with the braids.
Yes. yes, because she lives in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And I was like, congratulations, you got a part in a Woody Allen movie. She went, I'm not telling anybody because it's a Woody Allen movie. Let's just see. So she had a pretty sizable supporting role. The movie came out. She was cut down to one line. Hi, can I help you? And I went, okay, that's why she didn't tell her friends.
Y'all go see me in that Woody Allen movie.
But sometimes you just have to, like, okay, let's take a step back and look at the big picture. Okay, I'll quickly tell you this because I don't want to have the podcast episode running too long. But let me go. In a previous podcast, I told Keith about the time I went to camp when I was in grade school. All right. Okay. So you can hear that later. But I went to camp a second time. And this was in, high school. And I went to high school in Watts in South Central LA, the Watts after the riots. So here's the deal. And this camp experience, I loved it. I am still in touch with people that I met at that camp. And here was why. Because the school, there was this organization called the National Conference of Christians and Jews who had Camp Brotherhood Anytown. So they were trying to get kids from different schools in Southern California to attend this camp and at it have a dialogue sort of to bring the races together. Mm-hmm. I could become the generation that was going to repair things as we got older.
Fabulous.
Right, right. So our teacher said, look, they need some black guys and they need some Chicano dudes and some black dudes. So he said, if any of you can go to this camp, we will give you extra credit for the upcoming semester. And we're like, great. If I don't have to read Beowulf, that is a beautiful thing.
Shirking your responsibilities.
Sure. She signed up and I went. Mm-hmm. Went with a couple of guys. The thing that hit us, since we're meeting and talking to white kids who were like who lived in Brentwood and Beverly Hills or Malibu and Redondo Beach, and the thing that hit us was it's not just race. It's the haves and the have-nots.
Hello.
Hello. And our school, our graduating class was a class of 60. And here's how our class was small, and I love that school. It's still there, Brigham Day. It was predominantly black, you know, African-American males, Mexican-American, and there was one white guy in the entire student body. And we took care of him. We made sure he got home safely. So our teachers, you know, the civilian teachers, the ones who were priests, they were constantly spending money out of their own pockets to help us. These teachers would drive to Watts on a weekend to give us extra help. They were committed to teaching. Wow. But we were talking to these kids, and they were just talking casually about their schools, the access to financial aid, scholarships, grants, and extracurricular activities. They had access to stuff we didn't even know existed, and these were upper middle class kids. We were the ones from the family scuffling in South Central LA.
Reality, baby.
That's what hit us. So I meet this Asian American high school girl named Sherilyn Lee, mm-hmm. a showbiz kid, a dancer. We hit it off. We start talking, but here's why we hit it off. Because I said, oh, when you get back from camp, what are you doing? She went, I'm auditioning for a show that's going into previews at the LA Music Center starring Cheetah Rivera. And of course, that's when I heard, in my head, Angel singing at the sound. And we were talking about showbiz at camp. We left camp. We kept in touch. We'd call. We would write cards and letters to each other. And she was a dancer. By the time we were at camp, Sherilyn had a movie to her credit. She was in the movie Flower Drum Song.
No.
She's in a musical number. What are we going to do about the other generation?
No.
So, yes. When you see that number, it's done by three kids, and she's the littlest one. She's the little girl. So she's in a movie, a Hollywood musical based on a Broadway hit, Rodgers and Hammerstein, and she's doing a dance number choreographed by Hermes Pan. And for those of you who don't know, wow. Hermes Pan is the man who, in the 1930s, choreographed the famous Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers musicals.
Wow.
So And the point of this is, when Sherilyn and I would talk on the phone and in our letters, what was the main theme? Will there be equal opportunities for two kids of color? She knew I wanted to go into TV and hopefully film, and she wanted to keep doing theater. So that was like the late 60s, and this talk is still going on.
Wow.
I mean, think about, she, unfortunately, I read in, she was SAG-AFTRA, and I got the news that she passed away a couple of years ago from breast cancer. Sherilyn would be so proud to see Crazy Rich Asians. So proud.
Wow. That's a beautiful story.
Thank you. But that shows you that from one generation to the next, we've still been trying to crack that color wall for diversity and inclusion.
It doesn't seem, it's odd enough, though, it feels as if it doesn't change the wave of scripts. Because, you know, as we're talking just today, before I came here to the studio to sit down with you, I had gone to, did my Today shift, and I was walking from the theater, and I saw this big billboard with Michael Strahan, Anthony Anderson, and Steve Harvey. And the three of them are hosting Sunday Fun and Games. And it was just kind of like, I walked past the billboard and I was trying in my mind to look at it and be fair and be objective and not be a hater per se. But then as I was looking past it, I just kept thinking, it's like these three guys all have jobs that were formerly the jobs of three very famous old white people.
When you think about Richard Dawson. How many more jobs does Steve Harvey need?
Well,
how many shows is he hosting?
You know, he's got his radio show, his regular TV show that he's got that comes on around Ellen, that Ellen's producing. And then
does he still have the talk show?
He's stayed busy. And that's just for the performance stuff. I'm sure there's a book that'll be coming soon. Remember, he did have that other book that became the movie.
Oh, that's right.
You know? Something about the man, a man treating a woman or some foolishness.
I almost said, how to think like a man, walk like a woman. No, that's the Chelsea edition.
Think like a man and sashay. But see, you know, and so you see that and you're saying, okay, but have we won? You know, like, yeah. You know, you got the president making fun of Don Lemon, right?
Right.
But then we got Michael Strahan, who I am sure is a lovely, lovely human being. They all are probably very lovely human beings. But when I'm looking at what they're doing and how they're representing, it's sort of like, are we coming over? What's happening? Did we come over again? Is this what we're here for? Like, there's no big billboard of Robin Roberts. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're right. And Strahan's got a new assignment starting in September.
What's he going to be doing?
Well, there's going to be, because The Chew has been canceled, ABC is extending Good Morning America and basically putting an hour in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be Michael Strahan and Sarah Haynes. And I don't mean this to sound snarky, but a very perky blonde, and ABC has a longtime affection for perky blondes. So it's like Michael Strahan and Gidget. So,
but can I just say something? And you go, you know, I'm gonna. Aren't they a little long in the tooth for afternoon TV?
Well. Whoopi Goldberg is doing late morning, almost early afternoon, and he's younger than Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, but she's
on The View.
She's on The View, but the show that she's on requires her to speak on a level of certain issues and conversations that only a person of a certain age could truly have, an experience could truly have, and dip into, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, this is going to be news. I understand what you're saying. I think that they are going to try to...
It's just going to be an extension. It's going to be like the Kathy and Hoda, except it's going to be, you know, Michael and what's her name?
Yeah.
And then how insulting is that to Kelly Ripa, you know, that he's basically going to be doing the same thing he was doing with her in the afternoon. Because what else is he going to be doing?
You've got a point there. And I read one report where one of the producers of Good Morning America said that there was just so much news that they couldn't fit it all into 2 hours. So they had to add this extra hour. And Michael Strahan will be doing that extra hour. And I'm thinking...
He's not a news person.
And first of all, he's not a hardcore journalist.
No.
Bless his heart. He's talented. He's fun to watch on the air. But as far as there was too much news, I'm sorry. Do you watch the second hour of Good Morning America?
I can't.
It's pop news, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Bargains and Deals, and whatever 102-pound blonde has come up with a new diet plan that says... Well, like, if you eat smaller portions and exercise, you lose weight.
Duh. Thanks, Goldie. You're a charmer.
Thank you. So much.
So much for your insight, dearly.
But I can't get on the show to talk about Viola Davis.
No. See, and again, this is the thing. And I got to watch how I say it because I know how people are. But let's just be honest. If you're going to try to do something that's going to have a news bend, Michael Strahan is not the person that I would go to. And I'm not trying to shade him whatsoever.
No, but let me add this. If it's sports news or entertainment news,
he's fabulous.
He's smooth with it.
It's perfect.
But when it gets to hardcore national and international news...
The depth ain't there. It ain't there.
Yeah.
And you have to, and then, you know, we have to like go to George Stephanopoulos and Robin Roberts for any kind of smart conversation about news or what's happening because the rest of the panel is kind of Stephanopoulos
worked in the White House.
Yeah.
If you put in front of him a bunch of Croatian names of diplomats, he could pronounce them. So he's got all of that political intelligence. He just doesn't know the meaning of a street term like dookie.
It's just like, I want to see more folks. Like, there are some really interesting people that come through that do the news segments on Good Morning America. Like that young guy that comes off that used to be on the overnight show. What's his name?
Is it TJ?
TJ, yes, TJ. He could be great in the afternoon if you're going to have that. And I was going to say, if there's a moment when he's got to do a news moment, I could see him doing a news story. Does that make sense?
Yes. So he could do it. When TJ has to anchor, he takes on a different tone.
Exactly.
You know, right. When he's there on the GMA set, it's, yo, Stray, let me tell you what's going on. But that's because, you know, he's trying to keep it real for the morning, but he can't anchor.
Can I just say he's just trying to put it where it needs to be? He does. That's how it needs to be at that hour of the morning when he's doing a story with him. That's all I'm gonna. Because I don't want to, you know. Because we can't shade them. We can't shade them because they are taking advantage of the system that's working for them. And the bottom line, ultimately, though, is that what we're looking at is what people are wanting to take in. This is what whoever's decided at the powers of above at ABC is like, well, you know what? These, you know, they're talking about black men, and we're not doing enough for the black men. Let's just give them these three and see how they feel. But look at what they give us to do. It's not that we're doing anything. We're not helping the situation, but we're not adding to it. You know what I mean?
If I was offered one of those gigs,
yes,
I would take it.
Shut up.
I could clear up all my debts with 1 month's pay.
Honey, let Tyler Perry call a brother. I'm just saying. I'm not shading the gig, but what I'm saying is that the gig itself is not going to ultimately be the most productive thing that we need to see happening with our men of color. It would be nice to see our men of color getting to do the news moments and getting to do the spots. Like, again, like I said, TJ would be really wonderful in the afternoon, primarily because I know that he has a news bend. And if, God forbid, we're having something that's happening in the middle of the day that happens after they go off the air and we need to pick up instead of it being, let's talk about, you know, our savings, let's talk about our thing, they can have a serious conversation about what's going on in the world. And I think that he can switch into that mode. I'm not, you know, we've watched him say Kazakhstan. Yeah. I'm sorry, Mr. Strahan. Please don't beat me up. Please don't beat me up. Because he can. But I lived for him when he was with the Rockettes giving me high kicks. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you know what? And I have to say, because I have been on news shows where I have seen people go through that, is that executives hire a guy because he was very handsome and telegenic, but not necessarily a journalist.
So, I mean,
right.
It, you know, it's not to shade. It's just to say that it's interesting because as we talk about where's the representation, what are we going to see, what are we seeing, and you look and this is what we're being, you know, we're giving three game show hosts who individually are already making a shite ton of money as it is, doing what they're already doing. So why are they hosting game shows is the first question you'd ask. And then the second question ultimately in the end is, it's like, is it really that, are we just that sad as people that that's all we have left? As like, you know what I mean? Are we disengaging?
You know, as far as Disney's concerned, that is probably what is bringing them big money.
Huge, because they don't have to pay that much money for all of that.
Right, and it's, you know, the game shows, and they went, okay, these are three people who have proven to be audience friendly. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people love Strahan when it was a Kelly Ripa.
Yes.
And that whole, and leaving there, you know, it wasn't his decision to say, oh, I'm leaving the show.
Yeah.
It was me. Oh, I'm under contract, and they told me that I'm going to be doing this now.
Yeah, don't hate me.
Right, and I didn't for that because, you know, I understand how the sausage is made.
Right.
But I thought, okay, Mr. and Ms. News Executive, you do know that. Caller, do you know the answer to this trivia question is a lot different than Putin.
War-torn Kazakhstan.
Yes. Which is going to make extra work for Robin and George.
It's just like every time something major happens, they just start rolling their eyes.
Yeah, because they've got to navigate, you know, because they know, they're journalists, they know that. They've got to do it in such a way that it doesn't make somebody like Strahan look really out of place.
Right, because they're considerate like that, thank goodness.
Right.
They're not douchebags like
us. Then they've got to make room for Laura going, guess where Jennifer Aniston got her hair done over the weekend?
And then, can I ask you another question now that we're going to talk about morning TV? Have you ever tuned over to CBS This Morning and watch what's going on that set?
I'm watching it. I find myself watching it more and more because it's real news.
It's real news.
I love Nora O'Donnell.
But I'm just sitting over there watching them, and I'm like, there's no audience. They're not trying to do all of that other stuff. There's no bells and whistles.
They're just giving you
just trying
the
to
news.
Give you the news. And it's like, I so appreciate that so much now.
I swear to God, they had a really good segment on Putin and Trump. And I am fascinated by this. And I'm watching, and I went, I'm just going to switch over to ABC. And it's like, you can get these gloves for 30% off.
And she be having some cute sales, too. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, I, there's things happening in the world right now, and I just don't need an extra duvet. I, you know what I mean? Like, that's monogrammed. I'm good right now. I feel like we need to focus a little bit on the situation in Syria, maybe.
Oh.
This is news, right?
Oh. I'm sure that you folks are starting to see the commercials on TV for Black Klansmen.
It looks fabulous.
And, you know, going back to the point about the lack of race, gender diversity in the field of film critics, I saw one white male film critic preview Black Klansmen, and he kind of gave off the vibe that he thinks it's an original story by Spike Lee. No, it is based on a true story.
Right.
Where an undercover black cop infiltrated the KKK, and he wrote his memoir. His name is Ron Stallworth. He attended the premiere recently in Brooklyn, and he's thrilled about the movie because he feels in today's political climate, this story is relevant.
Wow.
So that's Black Klansman coming out, and it may be the movie that gets Spike an Oscar nomination. He's never been an Oscar nominee for Best Director.
No. You,
people tend to think, oh, he must have been a nominee for Do the Right Thing or Malcolm X. No, he's never been nominated for Best Director.
And he hasn't gotten a lifetime achievement, has he?
Yeah, he has. He's gotten a special Oscar.
Yeah.
But not a nomination for Best Director. Now, quickly, if we still have time.
Yeah.
Before we close out this edition of Mocha, I just want to remember a couple of great entertainers we lost early last month in July. Now, one of them, you may not know his name. He was an acquaintance of mine, a wonderful man. You do not know his name probably, but you know his work. He's another one of those dancers who graduated from Broadway's cast of West Side Story, and then he went into film, and he choreographed musical numbers in films. He choreographed all the musical numbers in Mel Brooks' The Producers, Blazing Saddles, and Young Frankenstein, to name a few. Alan Johnson. Alan Johnson was a brilliant, funny, sweet man. He was in his early 80s. And like I said, you've seen The Producers, the Springtime for Hitler number. He choreographed that. He loved working with Madeline Kahn in Blazing Saddles.
Come on.
So we lost him. We also lost somebody else who was in a Mel Brooks production. Gary Beach did a lot of Broadway work.
Oh, yes.
Gary Beach was 70. Gary Beach was in the Broadway musical version of The Producers. Now, if you saw the movie The Producers, you remember the character, Roger Debris, the queen in the dress. Okay, in the musical version, Roger is still wearing a dress, and he winds up playing Hitler in the Springtime for Hitler number. I saw Gary Beach do this on Broadway. The audience roared because he basically played Hitler like Judy Garland doing the Born in a Trunk number in A Star is Born. He was a terrific entertainer. He did that. He was in La Cage and Lumiere in Beauty and the Beast. And I worked with him. He would do live shots for Good Day New York. And, you know, Broadway actors, they work at night. Sometimes they're up late. He would always be there early to promote the play, and I made him laugh. We were on Channel 13 when The Producers was new, and we were having one of those PBS pledge drives. Hi, if you pledge this amount, you've got 2 tickets to The Producers. So there is Gary Beach, and I'm working. And if you've seen PBS pledge drives, you know how the dialogue goes. And I'm on live, and the copy they had written for me was, if you're like me, you love supporting the fine arts here on Channel 13. So they said, you're on live. And I said, if you're like me, you're short, black, stocky, and in need of a job. Gary Beach broke up laughing. The movie To Be or Not to Be, the remake with Mel Brooks and Anne Bancroft, a lot of people think Mel Brooks directed that. He didn't. Alan Johnson directed that movie, and he directed Charles Durning to an Oscar nomination for Best Supporting Actor. So Alan Johnson and Gary Beach, you are gone, you are not forgotten, and you will always be loved. God, what talent. What talent. And that is all I've got. I don't want to talk to you. I know you people got things to do. I've got something to do, and it involves a cocktail.
And hopefully Heather B., Mango Mussolini girl, hurry up and send a recipe.
And Heather, if you can't think of a drink, just put a bottle of Thunderbird in a brown bag. Girl, that's where I am right now.
Keep it simple.
Okay. So we got that. That should be enough, you know.
I don't think they could take any more.
I don't think so. And I do. I need a cocktail. So again, thank you, Keith Price, for doing this show with me today. Folks, if you want to shoot me a message, you can find me on Twitter @BobbyRiversTV. Bobby Rivers TV, you can also find me on Facebook, Keith has got his Broadway podcast.
Yes, Keith Price's Curtain Call on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Mixcloud, as well as the blog, kpcurtaincall.blogspot.com. And yes, and hopefully in the next few weeks, I'm going to have some information about a couple of new shows, as well as I'll be launching the first of I'm relaunching a new segment to my show called The Lavender Laugh Lounge under my heading of Keith Price's Curtain Call.
Wow, good.
And it's going to start with a two-part interview with the comedian Adam Cenk. So that's going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Congratulations, that's good. And remember, folks, Crazy Rich Asians opens this month, as does Black Klansman, new from Spike Lee. And there you have it. That's all from me. I need a drink. Thank you for listening to Mocha, Man of a Certain Hue and Age, here on your laptop.
And boom.
Mocha.